الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصي ما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا إن في الجسد مضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله ألا وهي القلب أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين We thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with this great wealth of iman. Allah Pak keep us with iman. Allah Pak take us from this dunya with iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect us on the day of qiyamah with the people of complete, kamil, perfect iman. Durood and salawat upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Forever and ever, daiman abada, recite Durood Sharif. Of the ayats of the Quran, very, very powerful ayat I have recited in my khutbah. Very great meaning, very deep meaning. The Quran like that, brothers, Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a book. Very few people have understood this book. Very few people will understand this kitab, this entire kitab, the magnitude of this kitab, what this kitab is, and how comprehensive this kitab is. And this kitab, the Quran, for all times, brothers, from the time it was revealed to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam until the day of Qiyamah, we will realize that this kitab will be pertinent to us in every era, whether it is a modern age, stone age, technological advanced age, computer age, whatever age comes, then we'll realize many things in the Quran, brothers. We will realize that things that people 500-600 years they didn't understand. They couldn't understand. The ayats of the Quran, they couldn't understand. But in this zamana, in this time, people have understood. Very simple, one example. Allah Pak in one ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كَانَتَا رَتْقًا فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا Very, very famous ayat. A lot of people must have read it, understood it, read the tafsir also. This ayat, أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't the kuffar see, can't the kuffar see, أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ that the earth and the skies be one. كَانَتَا رَتْقًا فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the Big Bang Theory, which our people, our scientists or geographers, whoever they may be, they have stumbled across this. We say they have stumbled across this and 100 years, 150 years, 200 years. In history, 100 years is yesterday. But many, many years ago, people would have never understood what this ayat mean, what this ayat meant. That Allah, the earth and the skies was one, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there was a big bang, and according to how we see the theory of the big bang theory, all the continents we see, all the land masses that we see was all one, and because of the big bang, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala separated them. It's a long story. The big bang theory at the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, probably the sahaba didn't know what it meant. But this ayat was meant for in this time, when the geographers, scientists, or biologists, whoever they are, when they say that the Big Bang theory, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has an answer for them. That this Quran is for all times. So this ayat I have read, brothers, and this Quran, Allahu Akbar. How we can enjoy this Quran? They gave an example, very, very beautiful analogy. They say people go to the beach. A whole family goes to the beach at times. Then you'll find children, they take enjoyment. They love playing on the sand. Sand castles, they'll dig one tunnel here, they'll run by the water, they'll run back, and they like that and they enjoy themselves. But then a big person, he doesn't want to build sand castles. What he does, he goes into the water. And then some people go snorkeling, they enjoy that more. And then you'll get those people who go deep sea diving. They enjoy that the most. They say the Quran is like this, brothers. The deeper you get into the Quran, the more you get into the Quran, the more you study the Quran, the more the enjoyment, the more the fun, and the more contentment a person will get. But we need to get into the Quran. Okay, just one point here, brothers, before we get to go any further. This is not my topic, it just came by the way. The most destructive weapon a Muslim can have in his hand. I heard this from an alim, from a very senior alim. The most destructive weapon for iman a Muslim can have in his hands is the translation of the Quran. When he reads the Quran and he reads the translation and he thinks he can make his own tafsir of it. This is very, very dangerous for the layman, even for ulama also sometimes, brothers. Even Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't understand everything in the Quran. There's so many things Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if he understood, but he didn't disclose it to us. He didn't tell it to us. Like the huruf muqatta'a, the alif lam mim, taha, yasin. These things also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't know. So the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not creation. This is a big bahas and argument amongst the ulama, that whether the Quran is creation or it is the speech of Allah. And finally they come down to this, that this is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is not creation. That's what makes it so sacred. That's what makes it so important to recite the Quran. That's what makes it so important to recite the Quran. That is why there are so many virtues for reciting the Quran. For three letters we say Alif Lam Mim, what they say in Hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I don't say Alif Lam Mim is one letter, but Alif is one letter, Lam is one letter, Mim is one letter. My Ustad Qari Ayub sahab, he is a muhakkik, a researcher in deen. It is chais for him to do this. We cannot do that. He is a muhakkik, as I'm saying. He say when you look at Alif Lam Mim, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Alif Lam says Alif Lam Mim is not one letter. But Alif is one letter, Mi Lam is one letter, Mim is one letter. So you get 30 nekis, 30 virtues there. Allah knows best how much is one virtue. Allah can multiply it by thousands of times also. Just for three letters of reciting the Quran, brothers. How much we need to recite the Quran. Only reciting the Quran, leave alone understanding the meaning. How much more reward there is to that. So Karisab says that when he looks at Alif, then he says if you spell Alif, how do a person spell Alif? Alif, Lam, Alif. He says there are three letters in this Alif also. So already 30 nekis in that one letter. In Alif, we understood 10 nekis. But if you spell Alif, it is three letters, which makes it 30 nekis. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give us much, much, much more than that. So three letters, there are 90 virtues just by reading Alif, Lam, Mim, brothers. That is the greatness and how sacred is the Quran, because this is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now for the Hafiz, we take that one step further. Allahu Akbar. That person who has the Quran in his heart, how great is he? How great is he in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My ustad used to say that a Hafiz have more virtues than a Muhaddis. A Hafiz of the Quran. he is more virtuous, he is more ranked, and his status is higher than that of a muhaddith, that person who, and a person teaching Quran. We know this waqia, very famous waqia. Somebody met a sheikh. The sheikh used to give dars in Masjid in Makkah, in Baytullah, dars of hadith. And one day they met him in one small town, in one small tent, teaching Alif Ba. He was teaching children Quran. Alif Ba is also going towards Quran, teaching towards Quran. That is why, brothers, when our ustads, our asatiza, don't forget not one of your asatiza. Whether that person taught you Alif Lam, whether he taught you Alif Ba, whether he taught you Quran, whether he taught you hadith, all of them are the same. All of them are the same. Because that ustad that teaches you Alif, we read from kitabs and learn from kitabs, that you cannot even repay that person who teaches you Alif also. You cannot pay him. Now, sometimes in our madrasa, because we are human beings, because we pay the ustad 5,000, 10,000 rands, that remuneration, so we think now he is ours, under our control. You know, those years they used to say, Haji Sahab, they used to say, the bones is mine, the flesh is yours. So I heard one alim say it very nicely. Those days they used to say, the flesh is yours, the bones are mine. So one alim say today, in a madrasa they tell the alims and the teachers, the bones are mine, the flesh is mine, and you also mine. So that is the halat. Wallah, brothers, for a child to learn Quran, if he disrespects his ustad, is nothing, brothers. He will get knowledge, he will get ilm, he will become a hafiz. But brothers, wallah, there'll be no noor in that Quran of his. There'll be no noor in that ilm of his. And we've seen it over and over, all over again. What is the complaint today? Oh, that hafiz is in a club, or that hafiz is in drugs, or that hafiz is involved in zina, that hafiz is not involved in gambling. What is it, brothers? The noor, Allah Pak has taken out the noor from that ilm. He's got that ilm. Brothers, ilm is nothing. You know how they say it? One alim was saying it very beautifully. He say, a sea of dunya knowledge, a sea of dunyawi knowledge, is not equal to one drop of dini knowledge. All the dunyawi knowledge in the world, take all the science and all the medicine and mathematics and everything, put it together, it is not equal to one drop, not one aspect of dini knowledge. This is dini knowledge, brothers. We haven't understood it. Sad, but we haven't understood what is dini knowledge. We haven't understood learning one hadith. We haven't understood learning one Quranic ayat, or learning one extra surah, or reading some masla, or understanding some masla. We haven't understood that up till this day. So they say a sea of dunyawi knowledge is not equal to one drop of dini knowledge. A sea of dini knowledge. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but if a person doesn't have amal, if he's not practicing on the, he's got all the knowledge in the world, he's still involved in haram, he's still not reading salah, he's doing nothing, it is not equal to one drop of amal. And they say a sea of amal. A person can have all the amal in the world, all the amal in the world, but if he does not have ikhlas, if he does not have sincerity, that all that amal is waste of time. Allah Pak mentions this in the Quran. Amilatun nasiba. There are a lot of people in this world. They'll do a lot of amal, but they just get tired by doing this amal. It helps them nothing. In this world, they get a little bit fame. In this world, Allah Pak give them a little bit. That's it. It is confined to this dunya and nothing else after that. Because Allah Pak goes on to say, Tasla naran hamya, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter them into a fire. So a sea of amal is not equal to one drop of ikhlas. If a person have no ikhlas, he's reading namaz for somebody, he's going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so someone can say, wow, wow, you've gone 4 months, 40 days, you have done like this, you have done like this, if he's got no ikhlas. And they say a sea of ikhlas is not equal to one drop of iman. A person can do all the amal in the world. There are a lot of nations, there are a lot of people in this world that do so many good things. You look at the Red Cross Society. Look at the earthquakes that take place throughout the world. Whether it's a Muslim country, whether it was Turkey, whether it was Indonesia, wherever it is, who is the first people on the scene? The first people on the scene are the Christian people. They are the first people on the scene. And at that time, they don't look if it is Muslim. They don't see if it is non-Muslim. They don't worry who it is, whether it is black, white, whoever it may be. They are there to help. And they take their wives also. And in some time, they take their children also and go. Who can do this? Who can do this? Take your wife, take your children in an earthquake hit area, a flood area where there's diseases, sanitation, no place to stay. Look throughout Africa, brothers. Ask the Jamaat, the people that go in Jamaat, what they see. Everywhere, somewhere in Africa, what they'll see? They'll see a white girl. Young girl. Where are you from? I'm from Paris. Where are you from? I'm from London. I'm from Chicago. I'm from New York. Where they are? In the remotes of Africa. No sanitation properly, medication, no decent place to stay. But what they are there for? What they say they are there for? Not for Christianity. They are here to serve mankind. That is what they are there for, to serve mankind. What a noble act it is. What a noble act it is. What they have left. You know, it reminds you of the Sahaba Kiram, Rizwanullah Ta'ala Majma'een. How they left their homes. How they left Makkah. How they left Medina. And they went throughout the world spreading deen. At that time, what happened? What we saw? That 2/3 of this known world was only Muslims. And it was only Islam. Brothers, when we have left this effort, when we have left that qurbani and left that mehnat that the Sahaba Kiram Rizwanullah Ta'ala did, that what Sahaba Kiram Rizwanullah Ta'ala taught us, what happened? Go to Nigeria and listen to the Kaab Guzari of Nigeria. 150 million Muslims there was. Now what it is? 90 million Muslims. How many? 70 million Muslims have become murtad. That's what it is. So this act, brothers, this people is serving mankind. Allahu Akbar. And serving mankind, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned it many years. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala says he was making tawaf of the Kaaba. And he met Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was addressing the Kaaba. He was addressing the Kaaba and he was saying to the Kaaba that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, he was making tawaf of this Kaaba. And when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala told him that there is something more sacred than this Kaaba. Now, brothers, we think, what is more sacred than Baytullah? What can be more sacred than Baytullah? How much of thousands of rands we spend? How much thousands of rand time we go just to see the Baytullah? Sometimes just sitting in front of Baytullah, how much of contentment we get, how much happiness we get. But Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala is saying, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, he said, there is something more sacred than this. More sacred than this Baytullah is the honor of man and the life of man. More sacred than this Baytullah. That is why sometimes they say, break the Kaaba down brick by brick. Break the Kaaba down, Baytullah, brick by brick, but don't hurt another human being. Whether he's a Muslim or not, whoever it may be, but do not hurt the heart and do not hurt another Muslim. And hey, brothers, we come back to our topic. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. Very beautiful ayat this is. Ayat of the Quran. And Allah Pak in this verse, he says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ. So pertinent to us, brothers. This is why I was saying that Quran is so comprehensive. And that the Quran is for all times. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how Nabi sallallahu, if they say Nabi sallallahu wrote this kitab, how will he know that such a time will come upon this ummah? وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ. I will test you with khawf, with fear. And we look at our lives today also. مِنَ الْجُوعِ. And with hunger. وَالْمِنَ الْجُوعِ وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ. وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So easy to understand. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking of the recession. That Allah Pak will take away your wealth. Not take away your wealth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decrease your wealth a little bit. But this wealth today, because it has become decreased, it has made us so bechen. When Amal leaves our life, no one becomes so bechen. Durood Sharif leaves our life, no one becomes so bechen. But when we heard of the recession, and when the recession hit us, so bechen we have become, Allahu Akbar. We cannot even understand. Hazrat Masrooq radiallahu ta'ala an, he was the cousin of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. He asked Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, he said, oh Aisha, what was the thing that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke most about in the house? What was the thing that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned most in the house? So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said, if man is given one valley of gold, then he will aspire for another valley of gold. And if he is given the second valley of gold, then he will aspire for another valley of gold. Nothing will fill the stomach of man. Nothing will fill the stomach of man but the sand of the grave. Very important, brothers. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We must learn from this. And inshallah, if I get to it, that what is this greed for wealth? And Ajib, today, brothers, it is not a general statement, but one of my friends was telling me the worst people to deal with today. It is not a general statement, it is not everybody, it may not be even, but it is something to listen and something to understand and take cognizance of. He said the worst person to deal with, a lot of people will tell me this also, they'll second me, the worst person to deal with is a Muslim person. You see, the worst person, when it comes to payment, the worst person is a Muslim. You know, I mentioned this a few times in a few masjids also. I'm going to say it. On a lighter note, there were four friends. So these friends, one was a white person, one Tamil, Hindu and Muslim. So the white person, he passed away. When he passed away, so his three friends, very, very bosom friends, good friends. When he passed away, so the three friends, they came together. They said that, no, we have to do something for him. He was such a good friend of ours. So they all came to conclude, made mashwara, came to a conclusion that we all of us put 100 rand in his coffin. So they said, chalo, each of us put 100 rand in his coffin. So the first person took 100 rand, the Tamil person took the 100 rand, he put it in the coffin. The Hindu person also looked around everything. He got 100 rand. He took 100 rand and he put it in the coffin. So he came to for the time for the Muslim. So the Muslim saw the 200 rand there. So he wrote a check for 300 rand. He put the 300 rand. He took his change, 200 rand change. Brothers, wallah, this is a reality. This is just on a lighter note and on a joke. Allah Pak taught Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a very, very great dua in the Quran. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a very great dua in the Quran. What is this dua? We all read it every day. Most of, lot of us read it every day. And we need to read it every day also. The duas of the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran. These are the most powerful duas. And there are few duas that a person has to read every day. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. This dua a person should read all the time. They say if a person want to die, guarantee die on iman. He wants to die on iman, guaranteed, then he must read this dua every day. It's in the third para, just after the surah Al-Imran. Rabbana la tusigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana. Ya Allah, don't take this iman away from me after you have given me iman. That we read this dua every day. Rabbana hablana min azwajina. Today, brothers, what our prized asset, our children. Inshallah, we don't want to get into this. So Allah Pak taught Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam this great dua in the Quran, which is famous. All of us know, all of us learn it. And this dua is Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَ عَذَابَ النَّارِ. This dua, Allah Pak is teaching who? Allah Pak taught Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this dua. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا. Ya Allah, give me the best in this dunya. Allah, understand this very carefully. Allah Pak is telling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask me for this dua. And who was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We hear from kitabs and from our ulama and from scholars that it is because of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is because of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this entire creation. The first Nabi, the first creation, he was even created before Adam alayhi salam. So the sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is why brothers, the sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, this is very, very important. It is very, very important to be on the sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how important it is when, this is also a little on a lighter note, but there was one buzurg, some people saw one very pious person flying. Those years, karamats, people used to do it, people used to fly. By our zamana, we haven't seen anyone flying anytime. People used to be very pious those years. Maybe it is true, people used to fly, sahaba walked on water, sahaba did extraordinary things, and Allah Pak is all powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful. Allah Pak can do anything. So this pious person was flying. So somebody saw this buzur, Mawlana Ibrahim Mia, comes to our masjid in Verulam, so he was mentioning once. He said, us zamane mein buzur, pious people, ye log urte the. No, they used to fly, urte the. He say, aaj kal muridin, you know, the murids of all the pious people, he say, aaj kal is zamane mein muridin unko urate hai. And waqi, brothers, waqi, and he was addressing all his muridin, and he was telling them that. There's a great meaning. And wallah, waqi, I've seen this one day, brothers, and it is not right. One very pious person came to our masjid. A very, very pious person. He was a little bit late for salah. The iqamat was going, the takbir was going. And the people that were with him, while he was making wudu, they were standing behind him. Someone holding his scarf, someone holding his stick, this, that. Whatever it may be, brothers. But who our allegiance is to first, brothers? Our allegiance is to Allah first. Not to any buzurg, not to any pious person. He is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our allegiance is to Allah. And how great is this? And how important is this? This allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and allegiance to deen. Very important one. Before I come to the dua again. At the time of Ibrahim al-Nabi alayhi musallatu wa taslim. What time you say, brother? According to after the sunnah, 5 minutes or so. See? According to must finish. At the time of Ibrahim al-Nabi alayhi musallatu wa taslim, Namrud was a ruler at that time. So when Ibrahim alayhi salam broke the idols, so they had a court case, everything, they decided sentence to death. Hang this man. Hang Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now very, very great lessons in this, brothers. In the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, number one, our life, our deen, the deen of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, deen of Islam. We always hear Millata Ibrahim Hanifa. The foundation of Islam, the foundation of Islam, of our deen, is on the millat of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now I just want to speak one thing. You know, Jamaat walo har waqt kehte, they always say like, you know, Allah, sab kuch Allah se hota hai. It is not for nothing, brothers. Why? If our deen is on the millat of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the foundation of our deen is on the millat of Ibrahim alayhi salam. What was the millat of Ibrahim alayhi salam? Alladhi khalaqani fahuwa yahdin, walladhi huwa yut'imuni wa yasqin, wa idha maridtu fahuwa yashfin. That Allah has created me. Allah has given me hidayat. Allah feeds me. Allah gives me to drink. When I get sick, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes me better. So our millat is on this. Now this is a very, 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 very great statement. Millata Ibrahim Hanifa. Because the Jews, I don't want to get into this, the Jews and the Christians, they say, not this thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has directed towards us. The Jews and the Christians, they say that Allah has directed this part, this small millata Ibrahim Hanifa we read in the Quran. This is directed to us. We are the mizdaq of this millata Ibrahim Hanifa. This is on our deen. But there are ways where we have proved many times that this is not your deen, because your deen is not pure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not sab kuch Allah se hota. They some say Jesus Christ, some of them say Uzair alayhi salam, some of them say Musa alayhi salam. So this doesn't mean to them. That is why the millat and foundation of our deen is nothing, brothers, but Allah is doing, and sab kuch Allah se hota. Everything is happening through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has just made us a means, brothers. So that's allegiance to this deen. So when Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was sentenced to death, he was put in the fire. The people, Jamaat just came back from there. From, there's a place, Urfa. Alhamdulillah, I went near this place. I couldn't get near this place. We didn't have a visa to go here. But it's a very... to go to these places, Allahu Akbar, brothers. I just came from Iraq, from Palestine, from Jordan. Allah, brothers, if we get a chance to go, I don't know whether it's acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever it is, but if we get a chance to go, and if we have the means to go, Allahu Akbar, what beautiful places to go. You go to Palestine. You know, it's a rejuvenation for our iman. We went to the graves of Hazrat Muaz bin Jabal. What a great sahabi. The grave of Hazrat Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala. What a great sahabi, senior sahaba of Allah, of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we get a chance, inshallah, we'll go also. What beautiful places. And the Kal Guzaris that we will hear. Wallah, brothers, my topic was on this. I haven't come to it. It's 1 minute left. My topic was on this, that how lucky we are in this country. How lucky we are in this country. What namats Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed us with. Go anywhere in the world, brothers, people talk about South Africans. Go in the world, people talk about South African jamaats. They want South African jamaats. Go to England where there's many ulama, but they say we want South African ulama. We want South African ulama to be in our masjids. We want South African ulama to give bayans in our masjids. Go to Australia, wherever it is, people have looked. Allah has bestowed us like this. And Allah has endowed us with so many ni'mats in this country, brother. Not just wealth. Not just wealth, but so many things. With everything, brothers. But look after this, brothers. We need to look after these things. Wallah, because if we look at the empire, look at the Muslim empires, the Ottoman Empire, the Abbasid rule, what they didn't have, it was like virtually impossible for this empire to fall or this empire to break down. But what happened, brothers? When greed came in their lives, when greed for dunya came in their lives, such an empire where they held, they controlled the entire system of everything, whether it was education, whether it was medicine, whether it was pharmacy, whether it was geography, whether it was history, tafsir, usul, hadith, whatever it was, they enjoyed and controlled everything. No empire has ever done this. They controlled everything, the wealth. But when greed came in their lives, then what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had done to the Muslim people, and a lot of them were pious people also, then we hear that the blood when the kuffar had killed them, then when they walked, then blood was up till their knees. In Spain, when the Christians had taken over Spain, and don't blame the Christian people, brothers, the Muslims' behavior was this. This is what I'm saying, when greed comes in our life, when this wealth comes in our life, when the Sahaba conquered, what they conquered on, brothers? They conquered on Iman, they conquered on Yaqeen. That was their first line of defense. Iman, Yaqeen, and the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So I'm coming to this in 2 minutes, inshallah, I'll finish. So Allah Pak taught Nabi Sallallahu, just this greed again. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala taught Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam such a dua, Rabbana Atina Fi Dunya Hasana. Allah Pak is telling Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, you ask this dua of me, I will give you Rabbana Atina Fi Dunya Hasana. That Ya Allah, what is the meaning of this dua? Ya Allah, give me the best of this dunya. Give me the best of this dunya. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And what Allah Pak gave Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam of this dunya? Nothing. But what it was the best of this dunya. That was the best of this dunya, what? Nothing. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this we have to cherish. So I was saying that one buzurg was flying, I'll finish off. This buzurg was flying, and somebody saw this buzurg, this pious person, whatever it may be. So he wanted to go see where this buzurg stays, and where he is, and what he does. When he went there, he saw this person, he was performing salah. On the beach, on the sand, he was performing salah. And when he saw his hands, normally our sunnah, to have your hands when we make sajda, our fingers must be normal. Mustn't be too much, mustn't be too stretched out. So this person saw that this person that was flying, his fingers was together. So he said, Wallah, this person can never be a pious person or buzurg, because he has left out one sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So one sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is so important, brothers. Let us, we can do everything else. We can amass and accumulate all the wealth in the world. In Fazail Amal, very beautifully, they say that the ship must sail on the water. When it goes underwater, finish. Then everything is over. Like that also, brothers, we can have all the wealth in the world. Absolutely nothing wrong. But the wealth mustn't come in our hearts. Once this wealth comes in our hearts, it's all over, brothers. My brothers, I didn't even come to my topic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested, Allah will test you with many things. And inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That person who says inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, when anything goes, sometimes you are attacked, sometimes you are robbed, sometimes killed. My very good friend was shot recently, so I decided to speak on this also. But when we say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, Allah Pak, the khush kabri, the glad tidings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when Allah takes something away from you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the reward? Not dunya is not the reward. Ulaika alayhim salawatum min rabbihim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will salute you. Salutation from me. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Very important waqi. Salma, when her husband passed away, she was so grieved. She was so grieved. And somebody told her that read inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And she had the reservations about it. She said, Allah will give you ni'mal badal, something better than this. Allah will give you something better than this. She said, what can be better than my husband? But nevertheless, she read, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proposed for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts all of us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.